This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
It's always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode number 2 of PTBN Dadcast. I am your co-host, JT Rosero here. Coming at you on this Monday evening, and a lot of excitement in the house because not only do I have my co-host from episode 1 on, and we also have a second guest as well, because this topic is going to take a lot of diving into, and we needed to bring in reinforcements, as you often do as a parent. But first, let me go ahead and bring in my main co-host. He was with us here on episode 1, talking Paw Patrol, and that is Mr. Don Carrera, my longtime friend. Don, how are you?
How you doing, buddy? Glad to be here today.
Good, good, good to have you back. Glad we didn't scare you off talking puppies, weird puppies. Speaking of weird and puppies, I'm going to go ahead and bring in another guy I've known forever. You've heard him on many, many podcasts here at Place to Be Nation. He even runs his own from time to time. And, of course, that is the one and only Jordan Duncan. JD, how are you?
I'm doing great tonight. One of my finest dad moments tonight.
There you go. Do you want to open them with the story?
Yeah, sure. I'm my son's basketball coach. We had a game tonight, and he hit a game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer to give us the victory. So
there you go. So you get a feel your performance here tonight. A little bit of nepotism, I'm sure, but that's okay.
Yeah, a whole lot of it. Yeah.
All right. So episode 1, like I said, we talked about Paw Patrol, but we kind of opened up with Don and myself just giving a quick background of, you know, our kids and kind of what age they're at and where we're at as parents. And JD, you're, you know, our age range around there. You're what, 37-ish?
37, yeah.
There you go. Okay. But you you started a little bit earlier as far as producing children. So why don't you tell us about
grade,
your three?
Eighth grade, I had my first kid. No, I actually have three kids. And I was thinking about this. I think of the most familiar place to be voices, the ones that I know are dads, I think my kids may be the oldest. I have a son, the one who I just mentioned. His name's Isaac, and you may recognize the name because he also co-authored a yes, column with me at Place to Be Nation. We watched Tough Enough that one season, and that was enough for him. But yeah, he's going to be 14 next month, so he's headed into high school. And
he could he could co-host a show with Wrestling with Words. I mean, that's their age.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but he's 13, going up 14 next month. I have a sixth grade son named Jacob. He's 11, and then I have a daughter named Sophie, who is 4 years old.
Okay, and so Sophie, if do you want to get into her background? Because I think pertinent to the topic.
Yeah, you know, you hear those numbers, 13, 11, and then 4, and you're like, well, there's a big gap. She's actually adopted.
Yep.
We adopted her from China 2 years ago, she's been part of our family for half her life now. And the joke that we kind of make is, obviously she's from China, so you can tell just from looking that she's adopted. But personality-wise, you would never know because she fits right in.
Very good. So I thought you were an interesting guest to have on tonight's show. And tonight, as you may have seen from the post, we're going to talk about Disney princesses. And since we all have daughters around the same age, I thought it was interesting to have you on, JD, because your daughter, you know, wasn't born in this country. And I'm curious kind of when the princess thing became, you know, entered her consciousness. Is it something that she just immediately adapted to and picked up on? Was it something she had some awareness of? And maybe I'm just being completely aloof about the whole thing. But so we could open with that.
Sure. Yeah. And I'll even share, you know, on the air what I told you in private messages. And it was when we kind of realized that she had an interest in princesses. We said, and I don't know what this says of me, but, you know, she's from China, so we immediately bought Mulan, and we tried to make her watch that one, and she's not a fan of Mulan, believe it or not. It's probably her least favorite movie. But, when we got there, and this is where stuff like what we're going to talk about, princesses and shows and stuff like that, is actually a great tool for us because the language barrier obviously was there. She didn't speak any English, and as much as we tried, we couldn't really learn Chinese very well, but I think music translates really well. So when we got over to China, we had a Surface tablet loaded up with Doc McStuffins and Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And that's where she started. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse was her big thing.
Yeah.
But when we realized that, you know, hey, she likes these shows and things like that, we kind of started branching out. And princesses were just kind of like a logical next step. And, that's what she's gravitated toward. She still watches Mickey and Doc and things like that. But she's a princess girl through and through.
What's up with this new Mickey show, this racing one now? Did they run out of ideas in the clubhouse and they had to expand to the racetrack? I mean, it's, and then they got this weird, it kind of just came into my awareness today, really. My kids have been watching it on and off the last couple of weeks, but I haven't really paid attention. Like, there's this weird reporter that follows them around. They go around the world in these different races. It's very odd.
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of what they do with all these shows now. Like, I mentioned Doc McStuffins, and Doc went from, you know, being just a doc to she had her own hospital,
right?
Too. So, you know, they get all these weird spinoffs and things like that.
It's a whole other world. Don, so your daughter is, like we said last time, going to be 6 this year, right?
Yes, she'll be 6 in June.
Yep. So when did she first really start getting into princesses? And as I saw yesterday, she knows every story.
Yeah, she'll tell every freaking story. I really have to say, I think it really came to fruition with Frozen. Mm-hmm. Because I think that was 2013, I think. So she was 2.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it came out onto DVD in, like, the spring. And that's when we got it. And she watched it several times. She knew all the songs. She really fell in love with Elsa and Anna. And I'm pretty sure that was also the summer that we went to Disney World. Mm-hmm. So that spawned all of learning about all of the other princesses. So Ariel, she learned about Snow White. You know, Tinkerbell was there. I don't know if she's one of the unofficial ones.
oh, we'll go through the list.
but with Elsa and Anna, that was probably it for her. And those were actually, ironically, too, the last two we met at Disney World. We had a connection with somebody there. So we were there till probably like almost 10:30 at night, and they were still, you know, in their castle or wherever the hell they were. And it was like a crazy line to get in, but she got to meet them. She was so excited. And that really set it off for, you know, all of the few years past that. So, she's into it, as you said.
Yeah. The funny thing is my daughter's is super into, and she's going to be 5 in a couple weeks, but she's like super into princesses, but she's legit never like watched any of the movies. I mean, she saw like Frozen once, you know, like in maybe Little Mermaid once, but she kind of learned about them more from, yeah, going to Disney.
You're a lucky man.
I know. It's crazy. Like, she just doesn't ever have any interest really in sitting down and watching the movie. She knows all the stories from books and from, like, we've been to Disney on Ice a bunch of times. So I think she's picked up on it from there and from just going to these different parties. But it's kind of funny that she never actually wants to sit or has, like, sat and watched the movies all the way through. And I don't know. Well, I think the villains kind of get her. That's why.
Well, if I can just, you know, piggyback off of that, too. Like, Gianna, same thing through the stories. I think the only ones she's actually seen in full outside of Frozen were Aladdin and The Little Mermaid. And I think, actually, maybe Cinderella. So, you know, it's the same thing. I think it's that having that the strength to actually sit through a two-hour movie is really difficult for my daughter.
Right.
But, you know, she can watch Paw Patrol and whatever, the same episode 50 friggin' times.
Right. They can sit there for 2 hours watching that, but for a movie, for whatever reason, doesn't work.
it's like, I don't want to get up and change the friggin' DVR again, you know? but, I think it's starting to gravitate more towards that, especially now, you know, Giuliano has had 2 princess parties, and Gianna was really excited to be at both of those, so...
Yeah, the princess party. We'll talk about that in a bit. So what I wanted to do...
a cash grab.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A lot of cash grabs. So what I wanted to do was go through the list here of official princesses and unofficial princesses. And then I wanted to actually go back to our youth and ask you kind of when you became aware of princesses.
Sure.
And what they were when we were kids versus what they are now. And then we'll go from there. So here's the official princesses. This is like the Disney princess line, basically. It's an actual franchise owned by Disney. They created this specific line about these princesses. And that's Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, who's Aurora, The Little Mermaid, Ariel, Belle of Beauty and the Beast, Jasmine from Aladdin, Pocahontas, Mulan, Tiana from The Princess and the Frog, Rapunzel from Tangled, Merida from Brave, and expected to join, it's not official yet, is Moana, the newest one, of course, which featured The Rock. She's not officially in the club yet.
It's
so.
Like a Hall of Fame announcement.
Right, I know, we're waiting on pins and needles for the official announcement to come down, but she's not in yet. So here are the unofficial ones. Minnie Mouse from The Three Musketeers, Mickey, Donald, and Goofy. That's an old one. Feline from Bambi. Otta and Dot from A Bug's Life. Alice from Alice in Wonderland. Wendy and Tinkerbell from Peter Pan. Lady from Lady and the Tramp. Miss Piggy from The Muppet Movie. Like, I feel like they're really stretching here. This is the unofficial Disney Princess Wiki list. Maid Marian from Robin Hood. Piglet from Winnie the Pooh. Penny from The Rescuers. Eloni from The Black Cauldron, Jenny Foxworth from Oliver and Company, Nala from The Lion King, Esmeralda from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Megara from Hercules, Kiara from Lion King 2, Jane Porter from Tarzan, Melody from Little Mermaid 2, Jane from Peter Pan 2, Kida from Atlantis the Lost Empire, Lilo from Lilo and Stitch, Ting Ting, Sue and May from Mulan 2. They had that Cinderella 3. Anastasia, apparently,
list.
Is the princess. Giselle and Nancy from Enchanted. No Nancy should ever be considered a princess. Rosie Gonzalez. Rosie Gonzalez from the Princess Protection Program. Vanellope von Schwitzo, Wreck-It Ralph. Anna and Elsa. Apparently, they're not official princesses. I thought they were part of this group.
Oh, see, I would consider them official, but whatever.
Sure.
You know, I just...
Yeah, they're not in the official product line list, which is odd. Sophia,
a lot of animals on there.
I know, right? Sophia and Amber from Sophia the First. Elena, Isabel, Sophia, and Amber from Elena and the Secret of Avalor, and they have a TV show we're not going to go through, which includes like Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, which is absurd. So, an interesting list, but yeah, I was surprised that Frozen is not, and they're not even like on the expected to be added list. They're not on the next up with Moana.
I think what's more surprising to me, I had no idea Piglet was a female character. I had no idea of that.
Right? Maybe it's like the first androgynous princess. They're just gonna.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was thinking about it. I don't really know why I assume Piglet to be a male, but
I prefer to live in a world where Piglet's asexual and not have to have any kind of gender associated with it. That's
Princess Piglet.
That's me. That's me.
That's interesting.
All right. So Don, growing up, who was the first? Like, do you remember the first Disney movie you saw, or who the first princess you would have had like awareness of?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Alice in Wonderland, actually. I just remember that vividly. I want to say, you know, I saw bits and pieces of like Snow White, you know, and the other ones that came later in the 90s, but yeah, it has to be Alice in Wonderland, even though it was like a whatever 50s movie. That was the one that was, I felt, mainstream.
How about how about the official princesses? You're going with Snow White.
Oh, if it was an official one,
it's gonna be one of the officials.
Yeah, it would have to probably be Snow White. Yeah, definitely. And then unofficial is Alice.
Okay. How about you, JD?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Don. Like the one that I think of most with my childhood is probably an unofficial one. If we go official, I'll probably say Snow White, because I do remember seeing Snow White at the drive-in theater when I was a kid. So I guess that's an early memory for me. But Maid Marian, I remember watching Robin Hood a ton as a kid. I just watched Robin Hood. It was one of, you know, back in the day, you only had like 10 movies on VHS. So whatever you had, you watched over and over and over again. So that was my WrestleMania 2. So it was Robin Hood. So not even that I liked it, but it's what I had. So that's what I watched. So
yeah.
Maid Marian is probably the one that I was most familiar with.
It's funny because that was the one I was going to say too. Like I remember her the most as well. But I don't know if we even had that on tape. I think either we rented it or maybe it was just on TV, like on Disney Channel a decent amount. Because I definitely remember seeing that one quite a bit. And then I think Little Mermaid was the first one really in my consciousness, because the first three came out like way back, right? I mean, that was like, when is Sleeping Beauty and
those were all before, like,
they're
way
older.
Before our time.
Yeah,
yes,
they're older.
Yes.
Whereas Little Mermaid was kind of like the first one that came out when we were of age. I mean, it came out in 1989, so I remember seeing that in the theater.
Yeah, I remember too in junior high, Aladdin, because I thought Aladdin was a pretty cool movie. And even the video game for Sega Genesis. So I guess Jasmine, even though she wasn't really the reason why I liked it, it was all about the genie, but, you know, she was there.
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, Don.
And Beauty and the Beast, too.
Yeah.
I think that whole, like, you know, I felt like they were coming out every year with, you know, that was when they were actually doing the real animation and not where they've been going more towards that, like, three-dimensional, not CGI or whatever we call it today. But yeah, that kind of trifecta of films definitely is up there too. Saw those quite a bit.
I feel like we should have had Matt Rotel on to sing some Beauty and the Beast for us. He loves it.
To Foxwoods.
Like you said, those three are the ones that that came out from, you know, between 89 and 92. So, and the one before that would have been Sleeping Beauty, was the most recent, 1959. So it was a long break between Disney princess films, and then we got a flurry of them. And the Pocahontas was 95, Mulan 98, which I didn't realize that was out that long ago. 98. That seems like it was newer than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And then the modern era, they took a break again, and then we got Princess and the Frog at 09, and then on from there. So Yeah, I think that 90s, that first batch of 90s ones are where the real kind of, you know, entered into the consciousness of, okay, here's a big part of Disney now is these princesses. And, I mean, it was an it was a genius move to say, you know what, we're churning out these movies that are addictive to kids, but what are we really doing to, you know, I don't know. I guess they were pushing maybe some merchandise, but the princess thing to me was genius because now we're targeting specifically young girls, into their early teens even, that can relate to these princesses that want to be princesses. And, you know, and even as they move along into the newer ones are presented as kind of a stronger women. And, Don, I know that was one topic you wanted to talk on, so I guess we can maybe turn to that now is the evolution of them as role models, where they were in the early ones versus what they are now.
Yeah, I mean, and if I can just quickly interject, what I've also noticed with like some of the ones that we grew up with, they're, you know, coming out of the Disney vault, so they're becoming more mainstream for our kids.
Right.
So stuff that we had growing up, they're now, you know, invested in this, and now we also have the live action Beauty and the Beast coming out.
I was just gonna say, yeah.
Which makes me think, like, okay, are they going to go this route with some of these other films if this does well? Which it probably will.
They have a Cinderella already too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's right.
And Sleeping Beauty, didn't they a couple years ago?
They did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was Maleficent.
Right.
The villain in Sleeping Beauty. Yeah.
Well, what I think too with looking at the strong role models, and you can actually even go back to Belle from Beauty and the Beast because you know she doesn't want to marry Gaston. He's just this pompous
Gaston.
Gaston. Yeah. And you know, I think her, you know, father's trying to push her in that direction, but you know, she's, I think as far as I can recall, did that come out before Little Mermaid?
No, actually, Little Mermaid was the first one. So 89. Yeah.
Okay. Cause you know, Ariel, I think tried to, you know, not conform, but I think she wasn't as strong as Belle. So I think Belle would probably have really set the stage for some of these other princesses that started to come along, and then we got into, you know, Mulan and Pocahontas, and now all the way to Moana, which I haven't seen yet, but it looks like they're going that way to really, I think, cater towards, you know, the strong females in the 21st century that, you know, these girls don't necessarily need to be with a guy or be saved by a guy.
Well, you can look at Elsa.
Handle their own shit, you know?
I mean,
yeah.
Elsa had no, I mean, she's probably one of the, maybe that's why she's not an official princess. She didn't have a prince tied to her. But, I mean, she's one of the first ones that doesn't really have, like, any love interest at all. And the story's really about her and her sister being kind of the saviors, you know what I mean?
So yeah, and I liked that.
Yeah. This is a great line from Wikipedia, by the way, from The Little Mermaid. It made me laugh as you were saying that. The conflict between modern messages of female independence paired with continual depictions of hypersexuality and reliance on a man is a key aspect to these progressive 80s and 90s films. So there you go. A lot of hypersexuality in Belle and Jasmine.
I mean, do you remember the famous Little Mermaid box cover?
Yes.
So, can't get much more hypersexual than a penis star, right? You know?
Oh boy, summer nights, huh? No. Wow, this is rare. We have a full Seinfeld crew here that can pick up on any joke. All right, so the songs too, I think, are a big part of these too, right? Of the hook.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's one identifiable song, and we're, you know, more than one in many of the films, but at least one in every film that they can sing. And Don, I think you hit a good point when you said, you know, they're bringing them out of the vault and reintroducing them to a whole new group of kids. But to the point we talked about earlier, it doesn't even need to be the movie because they brand the princesses on so much stuff and there's so much crossover that you don't even ever have need to see the movie. You can know that Ariel exists as a princess of the ocean or whatever and kind of that she was a mermaid. And you never really have to know the full story, but you know she's a princess because they brand so much stuff with that. You know, if you look at the Wikipedia page, like that picture of the group of princesses is like the one that's on everything when you walk through the store.
Oh, yeah. And that's how I think Gianna, even though, you know, she's seen about four, she's actually seen four full movies. But she just knows just from, again, the books and seeing them in the stores. And now, I mean, they're everywhere. So it's like you would think that these movies didn't even exist when we were growing up and they're all brand new to this specific demographic. So, I mean, it's smart marketing. And you know, it's what they're also putting together at where I find fascinating at Disney World. When we were growing up, you could just kind of see characters and princes and princesses, I think just walking kind of casually through the park. Now you have, there's like an app and you can find out where each of them.
Well, they're attractions now, right? The princesses have become part of the attractions.
Lines for it,
right?
Absolutely, and so that I think is very different too. So, you know, do I agree with it all? No, but it's pretty powerful. And watching, you know, Gianna several years ago going to meet all of these, she honestly thought this is the real Cinderella. This is the real Rapunzel. You know, so it was pretty cool.
The they're not like with Chip and Dale and the Retreads that walk around outside, you know, and they moved up, like,
which because half the kids that see those are terrified of those things,
right? Oh yeah,
you know, where you see the princess, those are legitimate people, you know,
right? But in the day, I feel like Don was right that they weren't, like, maybe like Cinderella was a draw because they have the huge castle at Disney World, but I feel like the other ones never. I feel like they were more likely to be walking around, but now you go to their palaces and see them all. There was definitely a shift when they reintroduced those movies in the 90s. And then again, like, doubled down with this most recent run of really bringing focus to them as, like, primary figures in Disney.
Well, I even told you, too, yesterday with the whole Belle. If you ever go to meet Belle, it's not even just going to meet her. You're part of a friggin' excursion.
Right.
I mean, you go in and there's that, like, the chest from the movie that's, like, the big armoire.
Yeah.
She talks to you in this, like, room, and all the kids are assigned a part in this play. I was assigned the part of a knight. It's this other dad, poor bastard, too, same thing. And you're part of this, like, 20-minute show, and Belle comes in, and it's, like, everything, the nuts and bolts. It's like a 30-minute total experience just for the kids then to finally go and meet her. So I found that kind of cool, but also, like, another smart tactic because you have us for the – you know, 30, 40 minutes or so.
Right. And I want to talk about the monetization of it, but JD, did you have anything you want to touch on as far as, like, the role model piece?
I'll save that for when we do our ranking.
Okay.
And weigh in for it there.
Yeah. All right. So the monetization is interesting to me because it's been done in multiple ways. You know, we talked about, Don, you mentioned the party, obviously. This is like a booming business, is that these companies have a menu of princess options that you can order from, and they come and they do the whole show. Like the ones we had yesterday, you know, Ariel came and she sings a song and they do the balloon. You know, they run the gamut of your entertainment because we were debating, like, what do we want to do for a party? And we talked about a face painter or a balloon animal, and I'm like, well, you know, the princess kind of does all that, and she's the princess that does the other stuff. So why not just go with that? Because she came in, she read a book, she dances, she gives a gift to the birthday girl. You know, they put on a whole show. But again,
and those kids were invested.
Very invested. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Very invested. They're sold 100%. And it's, you know, it's an interesting way to monetize the idea that, you know, here we go. We can have these princesses come out to the show and come to your house, and, you know, it's not just something where you go, but even like festivals and stuff, you know, or a lot of like church festivals and fairs, they'll be there now too. They'll have Elsa and Anna, whoever else there to take pictures with, as one of the drawing points to go to the festival.
Do you think that Disney is going to try and crack down on that and say, you know, if people are making money off that, let's make it a Disney thing?
Right. I'm curious how much licensing involved, because sometimes if you look at the sites, it says like Winter Princess, Sea Princess.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not actually Ariel, you know what I mean? So I'm curious if, you know, they care. You know, does they, like, I know Disney cares about everything, but I'm
they
curious.
Make so much friggin' money.
That's
though.
What I'm wondering. Honestly, if the awareness, if the free awareness is better, you know what I mean? Like, having Ariel come to this party might make these kids big fans for life. And now they're hooked, and they're going to search out Ariel. They're not going to go search out this fake Ariel. You know, I mean, they're going to.
Well, yeah, and like you said, I mean, it might be the Sea Princess, but Mom and Dad that have to decorate every decoration you're getting is a Disney decoration,
right?
You know, so.
So it's almost like one of those things where is it worth poo-pooing?
Worth the fight,
right? Yeah. It'd be like WWE, you know, getting mad that whatever, like someone was using fake, you know, like it's. Like when TNA, you know, when they call all wrestling WWE, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, why fight it? You know, just be let the awareness be part of you. Like, let the awareness.
Or like these indie guys who are on an indie show and they advertise them by like their WWE name,
right?
You know, even though they're not supposed to.
Right, because then if someone goes and searches out their stuff or whatever, they'll get back to where they should get. So it's like, you're right. You're going to go buy the other stuff for the party, but also if you're going to go look up other things about the princess, you're going to find the Disney stuff anyway. So I think it would be short-sighted if they ever did crack down or try and charge a fee. And I don't know how they'd even track it. I mean, there's going to be a million of these companies out there now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they'd have to be really, really friggin' greedy to try that, especially now that they own Star Wars.
Right.
And it's like, Bill, in which ironically too, that's, they're actually talking about making, there was conversation about making Princess Leia an actual like Disney princess.
Right.
I think that's in the works.
Oh, so you got to go through the extreme vetting process.
What's what? What'd you say?
She has to go through the extreme vetting process, and she's not from this not from this country, so I'm gonna work her in.
Yeah, right.
But the
most of the princesses,
I know, right? They'd all be in trouble.
Go through that.
Oh God, Jasmine, you're out of here.
Jasmine is done. Yeah.
No Jasmine.
Danger. She's dangerous to the country. So that would be interesting with Leia. I mean, I think they'll do it eventually. Why not? I mean,
I think they will too.
Especially because they're not just sitting on Star Wars. I mean, they are actively making it part of everything. And with Disney owning Marvel too, and I don't know, this is a conversation we'd have with Ben Morris, JD, but, you know, are we going to see any of the Marvel female
Princess
characters?
Black Widow?
Yeah, right? I mean, are any of them going to be introduced as princesses? It's interesting how they're
going to.
Princess
Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Interesting family they have going on here. All right, so, and then of course there's like Disney on Ice 2, which always existed. Okay, I mean, I remember going to Disney on Ice when I was a kid, and they still do ones based around, you know, it's usually based around Mickey and Minnie, but the princesses have become a major selling point of that too. Like all
huge,
you know, they tell the whole story. Like we went to that one, Don. Remember they went through almost every princess story in the book, and that.
Oh my god!
Saw.
Well, that's another way coming back to what you said earlier that kids don't even need to see the film; they can just go Disney on Ice, get like a, you know, 7-minute version of each story. And of course, you know, the big draw of Frozen being one of the last ones several years ago. They built to that because they marketed around Frozen. It's pretty fascinating because now we get more of an audience who gets invested in our product. And maybe, again, like you also mentioned, going to the websites, planning trips to actual Disney World and,
well, and even the merchandise they have, right there in the at the arena.
Oh my god, yeah, right. Yep. Every time we go, I mean, I had to get something for Gianna, and I knew that going in. Like, what do you want to pick out?
Right.
And sure enough, you know, it picks out an Elsa doll, and you know, it's again money makers, man. They know what they're doing. That's for sure.
Yeah, they know the best way, and it's like just when you're ready for a new one, there's a new one. You know, it's like like everyone's just kind of getting sick of Frozen, and then Moana comes out. You know what I mean? So it's like just when you're at the breaking point, they know to bring the new one out.
Well, and to even speak to the power of like the Disney on Ice and the shows like that too. My daughter went to it last year. She was 3 at the time, and she loved it. And I got off the hook. I didn't have to go. And the reason why I didn't have to go is my wife took her, and she brought her friend. And her friend brought her daughter, and her daughters are 13 and 11, and they were all about it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not just like 3, 4, 5-year-olds, which that's probably the bulk of the crowd. But these girls who grew up with it, they're still hanging on to their childhood. They're loving it too.
Right.
You know, they wanted to get the little spinny lights, and they're 13. This girl's going into high school, mm-hmm. and she's, you know, wanting to, her picture taken with Ariel. You know, so
it, I mean,
it's not just.
We're still taking pictures of wrestlers, so I guess we can't judge. But they are still taking Mark pics.
We do our own things at conventions, and,
oh,
and you also took a picture with Ariel yesterday, buddy. That
I did.
Good.
That's right.
I love that.
I said that was like 25 years in the making. That picture for me, I was waiting on that one since '89.
I love how you asked her about that in the basement.
No,
in your basement.
She offered me.
Okay,
she offered me the picture. Make it sound creepy, man. In the basement. We gotta wait. The way the kids weren't organized yet.
It's all good.
Anyway, so why don't we get one? We wanted to do for those of you who are new to Place to Be Nation. Jordan hosts, I think, is still in existence. A show called Rank and File. Sure. When's the last? Is there a new one coming at any time here?
Yeah, we've got one in the works that's being released with Scott and D'Amato. We're doing some theme songs.
Oh boy, I don't know what kind of theme songs are involved with those guys, but. So, yes, he does a show called Rank and File where he takes topics, of course, pop culture, sports, wrestling, whatever, and you create a top 10 list. Everyone makes their own list, and then you combine the points and blah, blah, blah. So we didn't make our own list here tonight, but we wanted to do some ranking and filing of princess-related items. So we're going to rank princesses overall. We're going to rank them as role models. We're going to rank the villains and the princes as well. And maybe we'll do the movies, too, to close things out. But let's start with... I guess you just want to go right off the bat. The princesses will open strong here.
Sure.
So I say we count the main ones, and then I want to factor in three others, and that is Elsa.
Anna and Elsa, right?
Yeah, they got to be in there, and I think Sophia I'm going to put in as well because I feel like she's on the cusp and has been around now for a while.
Yep.
Elena, to me, hasn't been around enough.
She's still new, right. Yep. Yeah.
My daughter's hard in on Elena right now.
Same here. Yeah.
And we're not going
to. Yeah, likes her too.
And I don't think
the dress already.
Have either of you seen Moana?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not
so
yet.
So we'll leave her off.
Yeah, I'm still not. My daughter's still not old enough to where we're going to the theaters to watch any of these movies.
Right. All right, so we got Snow White.
Give us a list, yeah.
Okay, so we got Snow White, Cinderella, Aurora, Ariel, Belle, Jasmine, Pocahontas, Mulan, Tiana, Rapunzel, Merida, Elsa, Anna, Sophia.
How many is that?
I don't know.
You're that's a lot, count. Jesus.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14, okay.
That's not bad. All right, so do you want to get the best out of the way? Like, do you have a consensus? Do we have a consensus number one? Like, who is the best princess?
If not, we can
start at the bottom.
I think that might be easier.
Okay, let's start at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, Tiana, like, what does she add to... Like, she owns a restaurant in New Orleans. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's not even a... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Put her at the bottom automatically.
So, I mean, she's not...
I was going to put her at the bottom just because that's a blind spot for me. I've never seen the movie. My daughter's never seen it.
Right.
So yeah, I have nothing to add to Tiana. From the book, from the actual story. I haven't seen the movie, but the story, yeah. I feel she's not one that's necessarily talked about a lot.
No,
and
it's
really
I mean,
as mainstreamed, you know.
Right, the Princess and the Frog is like an old school tale, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a blind spot for me too. All I know is that she owns a restaurant in New Orleans, and that's her dream is to open a restaurant, and there's a frog involved. So, I mean, I think she's toward the bottom. I guess it depends where you want to put like Sophia. I guess like how high on your list she would go. I think she's probably in the bottom three.
Yeah, she's pretty. She's got some power though. You know, she's got some gumption. I mean, she's a kid and she's up there. I'm going to throw out Aurora, Sleeping Beauty, as low on my list.
Wow.
Because she's, you know, she sleeps a lot.
I know. Yeah, I guess she doesn't do much. I feel like she's got that classic.
Sure.
She's old school, you know, and
she's
I feel
classic,
like,
but I think the other classics are more classic. You know what I mean? Like Cinderella is just puts her to shame.
Right. But what about Snow White? She's kind of in. Doesn't she fall asleep too?
Yeah, at the end.
Well, yeah. I'd almost put her in the middle.
Snow White or Aurora?
Or Aurora.
Snow White. I would put Aurora towards the bottom. I agree with you too on that. I mean, she looks the part, but she's kind of, you know, boring.
Yeah. You guys are harsh.
Yeah. You know, I feel like several of the other ones are more exciting when we get into like Ariel and Belle's in there. You said I like her, and if we're talking about Elsa and Anna too, just because of that whole sister relationship, but. Yeah, it's interesting. I think the ones that have come about like later on are gonna, you know, start moving towards the top there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, are you putting Aurora below Sophia?
I would
agree with that because I think Sophia's interesting too. The fact that you know it's a TV show. There's been a lot of like the made for TV movies. There's the crossovers, several of the princesses too that we know have like made appearances on that show too. So I think there's something about
her.
I think
she has staying power. All right.
Yeah, I think she has staying power. You know,
I even think a knock against Aurora too is you hear the name Princess Aurora and you don't immediately know who that is.
Okay. All right. You guys buried her enough. We're good. we'll put her 13th.
Go back.
Put her to sleep.
back in the bed. All right. So. Anyone that jumps out to round out the bottom three. So are you moving Sophia even ahead? So we got, you know, I think in this conversation, you got Mulan and Merida, only because they're less known. But both are strong. You know, they presented as strong. Mulan, you know, pretends she's a guy so she can fight in a war. Like, that's pretty hardcore.
That's badass.
And Merida, you know, Merida was kind of a shithead, though, right? Didn't she, like, disown her mom and then, or pissed off her parents or something, and then she ends up saving her?
It was almost like a parallel to Little Mermaid, I feel, because it was more with the mother who wanted her to pick her husband, and she, like, you know, goes in there and shoots the arrow, and she can outshoot, like, all of them, of course. You know, it's – so I think that came about, too, before Frozen, so it started to pave the way. But for some reason, you know, Frozen took off. Brave, I think, was very good. I really liked the story a lot. But, yeah, I would probably move her.
I'd put her next.
The back end a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like she just I think staying power is a big part of it. You know, like I think she, you know, that's why I'd almost argue her below Aurora, but I'll give her the benefit of the doubt because she had the strong woman presentation, but she, I just feel you don't hear much about her. Like, you don't see her at these parties at, you know, like, or any of this. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a big part of what makes, you know, if you're putting in a ranking overall, that's going to be part of it.
Well, I think, too, like, if we are looking, you know, saying, what's her strengths? I think there's other princesses like Mulan who have the same strengths, but they're better than her.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Sophia Now or Snow White?
Let's see.
Because I think you have, to me, Cinderella, Ariel, Belle, Jasmine, like, those got to be up in the top. You know what I mean? That's like your top four.
Yeah, I agree.
In some order.
I say Sophia. I think we can even talk about Mulan now, too.
How about Rapunzel?
Well, she started to become even, I think, more popular over the years.
Yeah, well, they brought back the story. I mean, Rapunzel's another old story.
Sure,
that they brought back in modern times, I guess, for this movie. Okay, so maybe she's more in the middle. But we're kind of reaching the middle now. So we got this glut of...
I think we could go with Sophia at 11.
Okay.
I mean, just because she's new, you know? She's
right.
She may not
She's
last.
A little green, yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah, so she's the hot new item.
All right, so I'm going to throw one out here.
Okay.
Because I know it's weird to split them, but I'd put Anna here.
Mm.
I feel like she's the less strong of the two. She's more, you know, reliant on the guys. And, like, to me, Elsa is the more kind of well-known one, I guess, or the more, you know, always presented as the true princess.
Here's my counter to that. If you watch Frozen, Elsa's kind of a butthole.
Right. Well, she's also got more...
Really, she just pouts and storms off and causes all kinds of problems for everyone.
Right, but don't forget, she's got a lot... With great power, JD, comes great responsibility. Anna has a lot of...
She's not responsible with it, I guess.
Right. But Anna can just... She just, like, fucks around and does nothing all day.
Yeah. Well, Anna changes that. I mean, Anna obviously realizes things about herself at the end, but the fact that... This is where I would agree with you, I think, on this one, Justin, in terms of the ranking... Because, you know, as soon as she meets Hans, it's like, the love at first sight. And Elsa's like, what are you doing? You can't marry
him. Yeah, she gets played pretty hard.
Right.
And that's where I think Elsa shows, like, she doesn't need a guy. And I'm hoping in the sequel they don't do that. Because I actually really like that. She does fuck stuff up. We definitely see that. But I think looking at the fact that she doesn't need a guy, but Anna falls for Hans. And then Kristoff, even though she punches Hans at the end, which is great. She's more of the naive of the two, and it makes sense because she's the youngest.
Right.
So I would definitely rank her lower.
We need an episode of Catfish with Anna. Just get catfished by guys.
Yeah, I've got no problem putting Anna here. I just think when we get near the top, I'm probably gonna fight pretty hard against Elsa taking that top spot.
But he says he's a bodybuilder and he's really hot. I'm
Is that
sorry.
Annalena?
He really lives in South Carolina and he has Coke polish. All right. So our bottom four: Tiana, Aurora, Merida, Sophia.
Okay.
We got to put someone in here now. So to me, the middle bunch is Snow White, Elsa, Anna, Pocahontas, Rapunzel, Mulan. The other four to me are at the top, so we're not touching them.
What do we think about Pocahontas?
I don't know.
I think she's another one that kind of gets forgotten a little bit.
But she's based on reality, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, that adds something. She was like a real-life princess. Badass princess in real history.
Yeah.
I feel like that has to account a little bit.
Sure. I mean, do we want to put Anna at 10 then?
Yeah.
I'm not totally against it.
I'm okay putting Anna there. Yeah, I don't think she adds much. I think she was overshadowed.
She's very much a damsel in distress, but because of her own poor choices.
All right, so now I'm torn on... Like, I feel like we got Snow White, Rapunzel, Mulan to me is like this next three in some order.
Okay.
Mulan, I thought, was like the strongest presented of the three, but she's also kind of the most forgotten. So I think I'd put her next, then Rapunzel, and then Snow White. Only because Snow White is so iconic.
Yeah,
I would agree with that.
I mean, she was the first ever princess. So that's got to factor in for something, 1937.
I'd probably switch Snow White and Rapunzel, but I'm not going to argue with it, you know, just because I think I just watched Tangled last week with my daughter. So fresh in my mind. I think Rapunzel's a pretty interesting character. She's fun.
She is, and I think she ranks pretty high.
Mulan's definitely third of the three.
Right. I just feel like Snow White being number one, she's kind of the god, you know, whatever,
I mean, what
the grandmother of this
Snow
whole
White
thing.
Come out
1937.
So
wow,
I'm like 70 years, or we passed.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it is crazy.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
this will be 80 years.
And the story itself is from 1812. Right. That was the Brothers Grimm. But yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, such a memorable story with the mirror and every, you know, like all this, sure. The seven dwarfs. Like that's a big part of it too. So I feel like that's, I feel like she's got to rank up just based on legacy.
Yeah. Well, she's another one who my daughter knows everything about, and she's never seen the movie.
Right. Exactly.
You know, whereas Rapunzel, until she watched Tangled, she didn't really know.
Right.
So.
All right,
Mulan, then Rapunzel, then Snow White.
Yes, and that leaves us with
Rapunzel
six.
Start, yeah.
And if you feel Snow White should be above any of these, let me know. Here's the six we have left. Pocahontas,
all right.
Elsa, Jasmine, Belle, Cinderella, Ariel.
Ooh, God.
So would you put Snow White above any of them?
Probably not.
Here's a chance to bury Elsa, JD.
No. I just don't think Elsa would be my number one, whereas a lot of people
not.
Would put up there. Yeah.
So I would actually put her next.
Elsa?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fact that she's a money-making machine makes me want to put her a little bit higher. But I feel bad. Like, I feel like Pocahontas deserves to be in the top five. Like, I feel like being based on real life, the only one that's based on real life, an actual real-life person to me, has to weigh in on some level.
Sure.
What
do you think about
unless Ariel's
Jasmine?
Jasmine to me is, I'd probably put her four, but I think she's like, I feel like these top four are very interchangeable. Jasmine to me is, like you talked about, JD, Aladdin was such a, you know, whereas Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid kind of rejuvenated the princess franchise, I felt like Aladdin took it to like the next level of pop culture because of Robin Williams and the genie.
Exciting, man.
Yeah.
I guess, the only thing I would say there is Aladdin's very much a movie about the prince,
right?
Rather than the princess.
That's true.
You know,
but she also has. Go ahead.
I just don't think she's the star of her own movie. You know, I think Aladdin, and then the genie. I think she's third,
right?
Maybe even fourth behind Jafar. You know, you might even throw the villain at her.
But in a way, she's what makes the movie all come together because she's the one that's like presented as the strongest. Has it all together. You know, like I feel like she was the first princess. You know, I think Belle was like the tipping point. But I feel like Jasmine is the first princess to be actually held up as, like, you know, kind of smart and in control and the one that actually dictates. And maybe that's the difference of the movie being around the prince is that, you know, in the other movies, it's around the princess, but the prince kind of saves the day. Whereas here, the prince is kind of saved to the
first. He makes the mistakes,
right.
Yeah. You know, as I'm looking at these lists and thinking of these stories, a topic we may need to revisit is... Dads really look bad in a lot of these movies.
Oh, very bad. Yes. We are not presented well at all. They come around usually at the end, but in most of them, they're not good. So if I had to give my four, I think I'd go Jasmine, Belle, Cinderella, Ariel. And I'm biased because the Little Mermaid is my favorite.
Yeah, because she was in your house yesterday.
Yes. But even beyond that, she would always be my number one. But
so
I feel like...
We're sitting at Elsa 6, Pocahontas 5, right?
Yeah, and then Jasmine, Belle, Cinderella, Ariel. I feel like
I'm fine with Jasmine at 4.
What do you think, Don?
You know, I would almost... I think just, again, because of that crop of films that just came out all in the 90s, I would probably go Cinderella, Jasmine, Ariel, and I would put Belle at number 1, based on what I said earlier.
Belle is my 1, too.
Just because of what she that movie, I think when we look back again, really defined the fact that she falls in love with the beast, and you could say, okay, she does need the guy, but again, she doesn't conform to the standards that were given to her with, you know, with dating this.
So the bestiality aspect of it doesn't knock it down from you at all?
No, it doesn't knock it down at all.
It's quite the enhancement.
It's all a curse.
The beast is an asshole.
But, you know, I think that she kind of plays it up with Gaston, but she knows she's never going to go that way at all. It's never going to happen. And I like that. And I think that's a good characteristic to have. I think that's a good role model for, you know, girls, whatever the age when they start. I mean, if they start at, you know, 4 or 5 years old, what better time? So they can kind of shape their own identity that, okay, you know, I don't need a guy here or, you know, whomever to really you know, forge my path through life here. So that's where I would, that's why I'd put her at one. I think Ariel as a two, just because I think she's just a little bit weaker in that through some of the movie.
No, she is. She's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
The, she's a stupid ginger, but the thing, here's where I'm really going to, I'll fight you guys later as when we do the movies, because I feel like Little Mermaid's potentially the best movie. So I'm going to, I'll back down on this, because I, every time I went to make the argument while you guys were talking in my head, I was thinking, well, everything I was going to say had more to do about the surroundings of Ariel, maybe more than her, like of why I think that makes it the best movie. I do think she's the best looking of the princesses, so we'll go that rates or something. No, I would have – all right. We'll do Belle 1, Ariel 2. I would put Cinderella above Jasmine only because I think her story resonates the most as like – I feel like that's –
okay.
I feel like the Cinderella story –
Cinderella is what you think of when you hear the word princess too.
Exactly. Her look, everything about her. And I think her story is the most like princess story. You know what I mean? Like the rags to riches, like, you know, just dreaming of like becoming a princess and then becomes one. Like, it's the most relatable story. Like, the other ones are all, a lot of them are princesses already, you know, like she's the one that has to become one through sheer will, so, and luck. So I would go, all right, so where's our list? Starting from 14 up to the top, we have Tiana, Aurora, Merida, Sophia, Anna, Mulan, Rapunzel, Snow White, Elsa, Pocahontas, Jasmine, Cinderella, Ariel, and Belle. So we got a few more. Yeah, it is solid. I think it's good. I think
that's
it's
a good one.
I think Disney would agree. All right, so that was a lot of fun ranking that. What I think we should do is take a break because I think we need a mental break after that. We're going to come back. We're going to do a little bit more ranking. We're going to do princes. We're going to do the movies and maybe the villains too, I think, JD. And I say that because, Don, you have to leave. You have an early wake-up call in the morning. So I want to thank you for stopping in here. And JD, we'll also do some mailbag questions too. But Don, we'll have to come up with a episode number 3 idea soon.
Dadcast 3. This was great, guys. It's really fun to digest this and look at it from an adult point of view.
Yeah, it's very nice to have these conversations. They're very necessary.
Very interesting. All right, so let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll do some more ranking, and Don, we'll talk to you in episode 3.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaySimulation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the PlaySimulation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place of Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaySimulation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaySimulation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaySimulation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes.
All right, Place Nation, we're back here. Episode number 2 of the PTBN Dadcast. Hope you enjoyed listening to all the shows available to you on our Place Nation wrestling and pop feeds out there on the PTBN network. Of course, you can subscribe to all of our feeds on iTunes. Just search Place Nation Wrestling, Place Nation Pop, or the Pro Wrestling Only feed. You can rate us and leave comments as well, which are much appreciated. You can also follow us on social media, facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation, on Twitter at @Place2BNation. And as always, we implore you, if you are listening to this and you do shop on Amazon, which I know all of you probably do, if you just type in the address placetobenation.com/Amazon, that takes you right to Amazon. You have to do no additional other steps, and then everything you buy on that trip gives a little bit of kickback to the site to keep us up and running. So appreciate it if you do that as well. So Jordan, welcome in. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed your break. Don is gone.
I bought a bunch of Disney movies through Amazon.
There you go. Great. Rack them up. So Don's gone, but we're here, and as we talked about, like you do on your rank and file, we're going to be filing some of these princesses here. And what I thought we would do next, because there's three components to these movies, right? There's the princess, mm-hmm. there's the prince, yep. and then there's the villain.
There's and the bad guy.
The three of them all together make up the movie. So those are the four things we're going to rank: the princess, the prince, the villain, and then the movie. So why don't we do the prince next, and then we'll do the villain. Because to me, the prince is generally the most useless part of the movie.
Definitely.
They end up being the savior a lot of times, but they're all pretty interchangeable. Like, some of them you might not even know the names. So here right. are the
if
names.
If I didn't have this list, I would be pretty lost.
Okay, so let's start off with Snow White. The prince in that movie is just called the Prince, otherwise known as Prince Florian or Prince Ferdinand, probably based on the version. But we'll go with the prince because that's funnier. And maybe we'll put a little raspberry beret underneath this we're talking about. Cinderella was Prince Charming, of course. And I think that also adds, and maybe we'll factor that in more at the movies. Like, we talked about Cinderella being the quintessential princess. Like, mm-hmm. Prince Charming is the name you think of as the main
with
prince.
With any prince, yes. Right. Yeah.
Sleeping Beauty, we have Prince Philip. The Little Mermaid, of course, the one and only Eric. Beauty and the Beast, Adam, I guess, is the prince's name.
I hear Prince Adam. I think of He-Man. You know, as a kid, Prince Adam was He-Man.
I think of Adam Murray, but also that. But the Beast, I guess we'll say. Aladdin, of course, is Aladdin. Pocahontas, John Smith, again, also based in reality, so true to life there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Li Shang is the prince in Mulan. Naveen is the waiter, I guess, or whatever he is, and the princess and the frog. Flynn Rider in Rapunzel. No prince in Merida, so there you go. Okay. And then Elsinore, of course, has... I guess we want to go the good prince. It would be, what's his name?
Kristoff,
yeah. I think we go with him, not the mean prince. Because that, to me, that's like, he's the villain, right? So that's like a
definitely.
Gaston.
Yeah. And
then Sophia, I guess, is James. I mean, I guess that's, right? Isn't he like her, the guy? I guess it's kind of creepy. Maybe we'll leave
sure
her out.
What his name is, so yeah. We can leave him off.
You know, let's leave her out. She's a TV show, so we can't even rank her anyway. So,
sure.
All right, she's out. So Frozen's still in. We're going to leave Sophia out going forward.
Perfect.
All right, so, I mean, I think there's an easy bottom here. I think it's like Naveen. Again, not to shit on poor Princess of the Frog.
Yeah, that's going to be low on all my lists.
But, I mean, I don't know. Do you know anything about him? Have you heard anything about Naveen?
Don't even know what he looks like.
I know him from the new 90210. Naveen, I think was his name. so, he's last.
Okay, perfect.
All right. Flynn Rider, again.
Flynn's good for laughs. He's more of a comedy prince, I think, than anything.
So he's the clown prince kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, he's okay.
Is he better than Li Shang, and one I don't know about?
Yeah, I think so. Li Shang is pretty sexist, you know?
Okay.
He's very much thinks that a woman cannot fight and a woman cannot do this or that. So I don't know that Li Shang promotes the best... positive messages for little girls watching.
All right.
I mean, he comes around, of course, when he realizes, you know, but Mulan has to literally prove him wrong.
Okay, so he's at the bottom then with Naveen. Maybe we should put him below Naveen, because I don't think Naveen's an asshole. I mean, I don't know much about him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Li Shang's, you know, the worst. He's just like every other guy in the movie.
Right.
You know, but...
All right, I'm putting him at the bottom. We're going to put Naveen above him. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Jump for Princess and the Frog, second to last.
We total the overall points for these. We'll say that'll save her maybe in the basement.
Yeah, I doubt it. But
all right, so now we got. I think the next bucket is either Flynn, John Smith, and probably Kristoff.
Yeah,
because I think the other ones are pretty high. I mean, well, And I guess maybe Philip we can discuss as well.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, well, he fights the dragon. So.
Oh, yeah, he does a lot. And well, what about the prince from Snow White? Does he do anything besides wake her up?
Not much. And I mean, his name's Florian.
Right, that's kind of stupid.
You know, that's pretty bad. So I think we throw
Prince
him in this bottom tier as well.
Prince Florian has arrived in his DeLorean to save Snow White.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are we going to put Prince Ayake on this list?
Below the artist formerly known as Prince Ayake.
Yeah, right.
All right, so Prince Fielder also checks in at number 3. He ate Prince Naveen.
He is 35th on my list.
The vegetarian prince. The 400-pound vegetarian. All right, so where do we want... all right, so I would say Prince Florian.
Sure.
John Smith, Flynn... and Kristoff. So how do we want to rank that foursome?
I put Florian at the bottom of those four.
Okay. I'm going to put Florian here just to embarrass him on the, list.
He kisses a woman in a coma. That's right. His heroic deed.
Right. It's kind of creepy, honestly.
It really is.
Right.
So
it's a lot. All
right. So Florian there at the bottom.
Narcoleptic.
We go John Smith next or Kristoff?
Again, I'm stuck on the fact that these were real people with the... He's pretty legendary in history, right, John Smith? I mean, he was kind of a big deal. Yeah. Well, no, he was a dick, I guess. Or was he? I don't remember the exact deal with John Smith. Was he an ass, and then he comes around too?
I feel like history has shown that all of them were. You know,
right.
I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen the movie Pocahontas in a while to really know the details of what happened there. So,
but I mean, just in history, John Smith, was he kind of a bad guy, and then he falls in love, or is he?
I don't know. Well, I think in history, I think Pocahontas was like an underage girl. So
right. So he's got a lot going on.
Probably not too kind for John Smith.
It does say John Smith unintentionally reveals his prejudices against Native Americans. So there's a little bit of that there, you know.
Okay, great.
Kristoff too
is a guy who tried to be the hero and failed.
Right. He does try a little too hard overall. He's like a class clown kind of guy too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, gosh. I put Flynn above both of them, to be honest, of those three. I put Flynn at the top because he at least provides some laughs. And,
all right, let's go with John Smith since he's a racist. And then we'll go with Kristoff because he's kind of a bitch. And then we'll go with Flynn.
Then Flynn.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, so now that kind of brings us to the upper echelon, as they say in the 40-year-old virgin, of the best princes. We have Prince Charming, Prince Philip, Prince Eric, and Prince Adam and Aladdin. So that's our top five. Aladdin's kind of an idiot, but he is pretty brave. He is pretty ballsy. His heart is in the right place.
Yep.
He's pretty iconic. I think it comes down to him and Philip to me for this next spot.
I'd go Philip, because the same point I made with Aurora is I don't even think people know his name that well.
He is very bold.
You know, I think Aladdin is definitely more memorable.
Right. Okay. I'm down with that.
So we go Philip at fifth.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Philip fifth, Aladdin fourth. Now, do you agree that Beast, Eric, and Prince Charming are our best three?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Aladdin could sneak in there, but I'm not going to argue too hard for him. So I don't know who I'd put him over.
I feel like Prince Charming. I would put Beast Adam next because I feel like Prince Charming because Adam's kind of is like the tough guy. Like I know he almost dies to save him, but so does Eric.
Right.
I think Eric and Prince Charming face the most daunting villains. Like,
for sure.
I mean, Eric's on a boat getting thrown around in this, you know, monsoon typhoon thing, you know, battling this
natural disasters,
right? Earthquake and typhoon. And he's battling this giant, you know, monster sea witch that like he has to harpoon her in the gut. And the water is a dangerous place to be having this battle. I mean, there's a lot going on.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and then so I'd put Beast three. And I think on any other list, I think Eric would be number one just because of what he went through. But I just think Prince Charming is like the most, I mean, that is like the prince, you know what I mean? That's what you think of.
He was my number one looking at the names. Like that's the first one that jumps out, you know?
I mean, it's even a thing. Like you call people Prince Charming, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Maybe not you, but it's a thing at some point for some people.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So Adam, Eric, Charming. That's perfect. That was easy.
Yeah, there you go. So here's our list. It's Li Shang, Naveen, Florian, John Smith, Kristoff, Flynn, Philip, Aladdin, Adam, Eric, Charming. Number one.
Excellent.
All right. Let's do some villains. here. And some of these have multiple villains, but I guess we'll just kind of go with the overall, you know, theme of the villain. So Snow White is Queen Grimhilda, but we'll just go with the Queen, I think.
Wicked Queen, yeah.
Cinderella, Lady Tremaine, Anastasia, and Drizella, but we'll just call them the evil step family.
Yeah, the wicked stepmother and the evil stepsisters,
Sleeping Beauty, of course, is Maleficent and her crew. Little Mermaid, Ursula, Flotsam, and Jetsam, but I think Ursula was the main villain.
Sure. And Flotsam and Jetsam are just henchmen.
And she's sneaky toward the top because she was, like, really sly and manipulative.
Devious. Yes. Very devious, yes.
I mean, she's literally, like, trying to kill people. There's Gaston in Beauty and the Beast, Jafar in Aladdin, Ratcliffe and his crew in Pocahontas. Shan Yu in Mulan, Dr. Felicier, Princess and the Frog, who I assume is trying to give bad reviews to the restaurant. I'm not sure. Mother Gothel in Tangled, and Mordu in Brave, and then I guess we'll say Prince, what's his face in Frozen?
Hans.
So I think Dr. Felicier, just because he's a doctor,
is
the worst.
Sorry, Princess and the Frog.
Yeah, you got to be more memorable, and maybe check in a little bit higher on this. Mother Gothel, you want to tell me about her?
Yeah, I mean, here's where she is pretty awful. She kidnapped Rapunzel. You know, she kidnapped her when she was a child and uses her hair, the powers of her hair to keep her eternally young. So she's pretty wicked in terms of pure evil. I mean, she's a kidnapper. So
all right, so I'll have her up the list. How about Mordu?
Honestly, don't remember him at all.
Okay.
Like, I've seen Brave, but...
Do you remember Shan Yu enough?
I remember the bear more than anything in the movie Brave. Shan Yu's pretty tough dude, yeah. He's a Mongolian, and, you know, Mulan and the people have to fight against the evil Mongolians trying to invade. I think he's Mongolian, I'm not sure. But he's intimidating looking. I'd have him over Mordu just because I don't remember anything about him.
All right, so Mordu's our second to last. What about Hans?
Yeah, that's fine.
I think Hans is kind of a loser. Like, he doesn't really do much. He just tricks Anna into falling in love with him to do what?
Yeah.
Like, he kind of wants to take over, but he doesn't really do anything once he has the opportunity. Like, he's just kind of a, I don't know. I mean, I guess he kind of threatens to kill them, but.
Yeah, I even think, too, like, you know, he wanted to take over the land, but he went after the wrong girl, basically, the whole time, you know, so.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with Hans there. He is. He was kind of dumb. All right, so, I mean, Ratcliffe, again, I guess, I don't know if his character is real, based in reality.
Yeah, and I mean, even the list that I'm looking at, it's Ratcliffe's Forkers, Ratcliffe's Lumberjacks, the Miners and the Pluggers. So he couldn't do much on his own. He needed an old brigade to really be effective, so.
So it sounds like he tried to shoot Chief Powhatan, and then John Smith takes the bullet to save the chief. So,
and if he had lumberjacks, I mean, I assume he's cutting down a forest or something like that. You know?
Right, and he's trying to shoot the Indian chief. So yeah, I guess he's, you know, checks in a little high. Again, we have our top group up there that I think are all pretty high on the list. So
sure.
I think it really comes down to Ratcliffe, Shan Yu. I guess those two for now.
And Mother Gothel, we can go with too. You know,
you think she's below that cut? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'd say we go. Let's go with Shan Yu next, and then Ratcliffe.
Okay.
Only because he tried to shoot the chief.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then
fine.
Mother, whatever fuck his name is, her name
is Mother Gothel.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, what she did is pretty scummy. You know,
right.
It's pretty evil.
Very evil.
You know, kidnapping a kid. It can't get much worse than that. So
it's jarring. You know, something we kind of touched on earlier too is that for kids' movies, there's a lot of. You know, scary level stuff in here. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
Like, there's a reason we're not really pushing our daughter to watch some of these, is because we're like, you know what? I'm okay with her not knowing the details of, you know, the kidnapping or the attempted murder.
Right.
All right. So that leaves us with, again, pretty much that top group of Jafar, Gaston, Ursula, Maleficent, Lady Tremaine, and Queen Grimhilda. I would put Gaston next.
He's kind of an oaf.
Right, and he's kind of, I mean, he's kind of not wrong, you know? Like, is he really evil? Like, how would you know the beast is good? You know what I mean? Like, he didn't...
Right, yeah, it's a giant monster, you know?
He's not the one that put the spell on him. He's just kind of a dick. He's kind of a frat boy dick. That's
and I haven't seen it for a while, but I want to say that Belle's father, like, goes to Gaston and asks him to save her.
I think I'd put...
Doesn't he?
From what you're telling me about Gothel, I think I'd put her ahead of Gaston. I don't think Gaston's that evil. I think he's just a frat boy jerk.
That's fine. Perfect. Okay.
Because I have to make one 90210 reference in all of these. He's like John Sears, kind of like a, you know, maybe like a little bit of date rapey in him, but he's not like, you know, deep down, he's maybe not a bad guy, but, you know, he's at the party, gets a little drunk, you know, so that's what Gaston is.
He's more entitled than he is evil.
Yeah, you know, he's just, he's a frat guy. Old boys club.
Okay, so Mother Gothel jumps up a notch there.
Yeah, she's a little bit more naturally evil. Sure. Okay, so now we get the really evil people. Jafar, Ursula, Maleficent, Tremaine, and Grimhilda. I mean, they're all on some level. So I think this is what we're going to look at. Who are the ones that are trying to murder people? Like, that's Maleficent is trying to kill Aurora. The Queen is trying to kill Snow White. And Ursula is pretty much trying to kill Triton to take over the sea.
Right. And Jafar doesn't mind if people live or die either.
Right. So I think I'd put the evil step family next because what they're doing is real shitty. But they're not really... Like, what are they? I mean, they're just kind of screwing her out of her living her life, but they're not like trying to outright end it. So,
right, yeah, no.
And the sisters are kind of slobs.
They don't necessarily do anything nefarious so much as they treat her like crap. I mean, that's basically
what it is. Right. And they get the Rosati sisters, basically, the fat slobs.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So that leaves us with the queen, evil, wicked queen, Maleficent, and Ursula. Mm-hmm.
I'd go to the queen here, the evil queen. And the reason why is she doesn't even do the dirty work herself. She sends the huntsman in to kill Snow White.
True.
So
kind of weak. All right, so that leaves...
Evil but cowardly.
All right, so that leaves us Maleficent and the Little Mermaid. And I'm going to make the case for Ursula here. Because
we got Jafar, too. Where's Jafar?
Oh, Jafar. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's make the case...
He'd be in my top three anyways.
Okay, well, let's make the case for all three, and then we'll see how we flesh them out. So, sure. Maleficent puts a spell. She was just jilted and angry, right? I mean, that's what happened with her, that
she got left out of the ball or whatever.
I have not. I've read the story of Snow White. I mean, Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, well, the Sleeping Beauty movie is more about Sleeping Beauty. They made a movie a couple years ago called Maleficent that kind of gives you her side of the story. And she was spurned by a prince. You know, she was just a peaceful, you know, like a magical fairy type thing who lived in peace. And the humans, you know, torture her and hurt her. And she was like forever scorned. So her thing is, if you go by that movie, it's more like an act of revenge.
Right.
Than anything. So she's got reason to be evil. Whereas I think Ursula and Jafar
are just
evil just to be evil. I think Maleficent, if we throw in the Maleficent movie, she's...
Is your plane arriving, or is that a room?
Yeah, that's right.
Maleficent, yes. And I think you even get that a little bit from the book, too. They kind of shorten it down to, like, she was supposed to go to, like, a party, and they kind of spurn her at the party, and that's where she puts the curse on Aurora. And she's going to turn into a dragon to do her dirty work, too, which to me is kind of, you know, do it yourself, as yourself. All right,
exactly. So she's three.
Okay, that's good. I don't know how to spell it. All right, so we got to do...
Ursula and Jafar.
Yeah, I think, to me, it's Ursula is the worst. I mean, she is the most manipulative. She really puts on the charm, steals the voice. She's trying to kill Eric. She's trying to, you know, kill Triton. She wants to take over the sea. She blows up into this evil, pure, ugly sea witch at the end. Doesn't care who she's wiping out to get what she wants. She's willing to take Triton into bondage and do whatever God knows what to him. And then even like her pretending to be the other princess and taking the form and tricking Eric. You know, like to me, she just does a lot of really tricky, nasty stuff. And then she's willing to kill whoever she wants.
Right. Whereas with Jafar, I mean, he didn't care if people died, but he wasn't like... driven by death. He just wanted power.
Right.
You know? And I think the other thing, too, is when you look at how they had to be defeated, Jafar just gets tricked. Whereas Ursula just, like, Eric has to throw, like, as you said, he has to throw that harpoon in her gut.
Right.
You know? Like,
has to blow
Jafar,
up.
They just outsmart.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think Ursula's our number one.
I think so, too.
Okay. All right. So here's our list. Dr. Felicier, Mordu, Hans, Shan Yu, Ratcliffe, Gaston, Gothel, Evil Stepmother, Wicked Queen, Maleficent, Jafar, and Ursula.
Yeah. I think one last thing I'd say about Jafar, why he wouldn't be number one. I think you know, going with our wrestling analogy and like thinking of like the Miz, like nobody likes Ursula.
Right.
Whereas Jafar is like a cool bad guy.
Right. Yes.
You know, Ursula's like pure bad guy. Nobody watches The Little Mermaid and says, I want to be Ursula.
Right. And that hair is awful.
Yeah. She's the worst.
Okay. All right, so why don't we quickly do movies? I think this will be a little bit quicker. I don't think I even need to name them. I think we know them at this point.
Yeah.
And I think The Princess and the Frog is probably the worst.
Dead last. I've never seen it. So.
Okay. See you later. All right, so Princess and the Frog goes last. Yep. All right, man, this is not easy as I thought. Brave?
Well, let me throw one out that you're probably going to be surprised by, and just because... You know, when my daughter got into these movies, we bought a lot of them, mm-hmm. and just let her watch, you know, whichever one she wanted, just to see which one she liked. I know it's old, but Snow White sucks.
Yeah,
Snow White's a crappy movie.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the good thing about it, it's only like 70 minutes long, so it's not really a long movie. But it's
This is the place to put those old ones because movies have gotten better. I mean, I know they're classics, but they've gotten better. So yeah, I mean, Snow White's kind of lame. I mean, the only thing is you get the dwarves, who are pretty iconic, you know? I mean, everyone knows the dwarves.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, yeah.
Right. I mean, there is that, but... Okay, we can put that there.
It's pretty bad.
All right, either of the other old ones, would you put this low?
I haven't watched Sleeping Beauty, but I wouldn't put Cinderella that low, no.
Okay. All right, so of the, like, Tangled, Brave, Mulan mix... Ooh, and Pocahontas, I don't... Like, I know we've talked a lot about it being based in reality, but I it always screamed boring to me, so I don't know.
Same here. Same here. I'm fine with putting it next if you want.
Let's put that next.
Okay.
And even the songs, like, aren't that great. You know what I mean? Like, that, to me, factors into this a lot, is the songs.
Yeah, because they hit that year where it seemed like, that stretch where it seemed like every year they had another one.
Right.
And it was a good movie, and it had a key song, and I think Pocahontas had the weakest of the songs.
Right, yeah. So, yes, The Colors of the Wind or whatever. So, to me, that's fine there. All right.
Okay.
So here's my reasoning for the other ones having to be on top. Cinderella, iconic song.
Sure.
Sleeping Beauty, iconic song. Little Mermaid, multiple iconic songs. Beauty and the Beast, multiple iconic songs. Aladdin, iconic song.
Yes.
That is why it leaves me with Mulan, Tangled,
and
Brave.
And what about Frozen, too?
And Frozen. All right, so Mulan, Tangled, and Brave to me are the next three because...
Sure.
A, I don't find the princesses to be iconic, and I don't find the music to be iconic. So I would put Brave, then Mulan, then Tangled, because I think Rapunzel of the three is like the most well-known princess.
Yep. You got Brave third there?
Yeah, then Mulan.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably put Mulan next, but I don't care that much, you know.
I feel like people know Mulan more than like Merida.
Right.
That was
I guess the only reason I would put Mulan there is because, again, my daughter is Chinese, and it's a story of a Chinese princess, and my daughter doesn't care about her at all. So I guess in that sense.
But she might as she gets older. It's a more relatable story probably for an older girl.
Yeah.
We'll rerun this back in like 3 years.
Yeah, I'll come back and tell you how much she likes it.
We'll just pause the podcast here, and we'll fix it. We'll finish in a few years. All right. So that kind of takes care of those. So.
Sure.
That leaves us with Frozen, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. I'd probably go Sleeping Beauty next.
Sleeping Beauty, yep.
Okay.
As I was going to say, this is where we throw that one.
Okay. So now we look at the strength of everything. So we got the strength of the princess, the story, the villain, the music, and like just the memorability of the setting.
Mm-hmm.
So with that all said, I would probably put... Fuck! I feel like these, five are all tied. I hate to say Cinderella next because to me it's like the quintessential princess story.
But that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And you know what I think the key is? I think you said the music.
Yeah.
Is I think that these other four really kind of blow it out of the water.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean she checks off the princess box. Like we said, the villain.
She's
not
high
as
on
strong.
All of our other lists. Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right.
So Cinderella 5, okay.
So that leaves us with Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, which, I mean, again, shows you the 90s were like a powerhouse for these movies.
Yeah, oh, I know, right?
And then Frozen.
Do you have a one? Do you have one?
Little Mermaid is my one.
Little Mermaid's your one? Okay.
I feel like it's got everything. It's got the setting. It's different, you know, with all the water stuff. It's got so many memorable scenes. Like, I could almost tell you, like, the movie. You know what I mean? The whole movie.
Sure.
I think it's got the most... It's got the most memorable side characters. Like, if you compare to me, like, the fucking clock and those guys in Beauty and the Beast versus, like, Sebastian and the Pelican, you know, like, you know, like, to me, those are all, and Flounder, like, those are, like, kind of iconic side characters, too.
Sure. Well, let me throw this at you. What about Frozen at number four on this basis? There's almost a backlash against Frozen, whereas people get annoyed by it and they're like, "Oh, enough with the Frozen." But I don't ever hear that about the other three.
But were there at the time?
That could be because we're modern,
right?
You know, it's here right now. But
right, and we have to hate everything.
We're ranking it right now. Yeah. Yes. So, if we come back 5 years from now, maybe it won't have that. But you know, right now, I think.
Yeah, because
Frozen would be the one that might make people be like, ugh.
And I think Frozen's got the weakest prince, the weakest of this group left, the weakest prince, the weakest villain, the weakest princesses. I think the only thing it has going for it is the setting and the music. But even Let It Go is getting kind of played out.
Oh, gosh.
And I don't know if it's going to have the staying power of, like, Under the Sea or of I Had the Time of My Life, whatever the hell the song is. Drawing a blank for a second.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, well, Tale as Old as Time. Yeah, that. But what's the other one too? Be Our Guest. You know, like that.
Yeah.
And even Aladdin with the Prince Ali Baba and that. And I mean, the genie.
Oh, yeah. Aladdin's got a few.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the genie pushes Aladdin up so high. Because it's so memorable. All right, so.
Well, that's why Frozen at four, then.
Yeah, and then I think I would go. I think I'd go Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, and then Little Mermaid if I had to.
I would put Aladdin ahead of Beauty and the Beast. And the reason why is I think they're neck and neck in a lot of reasons, but Aladdin's got the comedy factor.
Yeah.
There's funny parts to Aladdin. I think Robin Williams puts it over the top for me.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I can see it.
So Beauty at three. Honestly, Aladdin would be my number one, but I have no problem with
Little Mermaid. It ticks every box for me. Like, we already ranked Ursula above. We ranked Ariel above.
And that's why I would go with it. You know, personally, I would prefer Aladdin, but I think since we're doing a princess podcast, I think Ariel's a better princess than Jasmine. So it's like a tiebreaker for me. So if you're cool with Aladdin at two, then
I am. And plus, Aladdin also had a whole new world. Like, that's another iconic song too. I mean, there's big songs. All right, so there you go. Our movies are Princess and the Frog, Snow White, Pocahontas, Brave, Mulan, Tangled, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella, Frozen, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, solid list.
Yeah. All right. That's all your lists. So, JD, any final princess anecdotes or bits you wanted to get in before we go to our mailbag?
Yeah. Here's an effective parenting tool that I have found.
Okay.
You know, when your kid does something wrong, obviously you have to discipline here and there. What we found with my daughter is...
You locked them in a tower.
Yes, exactly. Give her an apple that puts her into a coma. No, but at her school, she's like on a color system. You know, a good day is green.
Right.
She gets in a little trouble, yellow or red. If she goes on yellow or red, then she's not allowed to wear her princess dresses when she gets home from school. We have found that to be very effective because there have been days where she's gotten to yellow, but knowing in her mind she can't put her Elsa dress on when she gets home,
right.
She works her way back up to green. So it's a pretty solid plan.
Yeah, and my tip too would be if your daughter wants to wear the princess dress, let her wear the princess dress.
We went out to dinner 2 nights ago, and she wore her Elsa dress to Big Boy. So
I was like, who cares? Like, think of what people wear. You know,
3 years old. You know,
think of what adults wear. Think of what adults wear.
I'm more worried about what my daughter will be wearing when she's 16 and when she's four.
You know, let her wear the princess dress and embrace it. Embrace the princess stuff. All right.
Sure.
Our buddy Maddie Mars says, I thought Moana was good for girls because she didn't need a love interest like most of the princesses. It was a nice change of pace. She had a male to help, but she was very much in charge and brave. So there you go. Hot take on Moana. Stevie Piscatello comes in with, should Leia be recognized as a full-on Disney princess? We talked about that a little bit earlier, JD. I don't know if you gave your answer. Would you make Leia a princess?
I mean... I see the argument for it. The weird thing to me is that, you know, Star Wars to me still isn't a Disney thing.
Yeah.
You know, I still have a hard time putting Disney and Star Wars together. I know they bought it, but they didn't make it. So.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. He also asks, is it true that Princess Sophia is going to build a wall to keep out Elena of Avalon?
Well, Elena has that flying, like, tiger type thing with wings, so you could build a wall so she can fly right over it. You know, so go ahead and try, Sophia.
I want so bad. I mean, I feel like Trump is on the verge of just doing insane things anyway, of like him to like petition Disney to get rid of like the non like whatever white
Tiana.
Princesses.
They would go after Tiana first. No, actually, it'd be Jasmine.
Jasmine is fucked in Trump's America. Like she is just. Yeah. I mean, she's going to start just getting eliminated from everything.
She's gone. Yeah. She's gone.
We can't have Jasmine. Michael Cook says Aurora is only supposed to be 14, which is underage. So there you go.
Oh, wow, that's creepy. Okay. Not him, but yeah, that makes the story creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, it does make the story.
But you know what? It does remind me because the story of Maleficent is the person that like hurts her is Aurora's dad. So right. She doesn't have to get back at Aurora's father.
And it, you know, it was a different time, I guess. That was, an odd story. He also asked if Elsa's in her own category, which we talked about earlier, and we were high on Elsa, but not super high.
No, yeah, I think that there's better positive role models for young girls than Elsa.
Eric Levine, my buddy, says it's ridiculous that Disney has changed Jasmine's outfit, and then someone, Steve commented, "You mean sans belly button?" And they asked for our thoughts. Are you aware of this change?
No, they got rid of her belly button.
Well, maybe
like
they
she
cover
doesn't
up.
Have one, or they covered it up.
I'm guessing it means that I don't think. I mean, she's a human, right? So she's gonna have the. She's gonna have a belly button. I'm assuming they cover. Yeah. Let me see. I'm trying to look at pictures here.
I'm not sure.
Was a new look? Did they give her like a more full outfit?
Jasmine, new outfit. So first thing that comes up on Google is Jasmine got a modest new outfit.
Yeah,
this
it looks
is,
like they
just a couple months ago. Okay.
So are they covering?
Yeah, they
the,
covered up quite a bit.
Is it a dress, like a full dress? I don't know what picture.
Yeah, no
at.
Belly or anything. Okay. Interesting.
So the picture of Kim Kardashian looking at as dressed up as Jasmine is not the one that should be going by.
Probably not the most current one.
I think I would have ranked Jasmine higher if I had seen that picture first. Okay, so. Andrew Riesch asks, Sophia or Elena, who wore the amulet better?
Oh, we're a pro Elena family in our house.
Yes, Elena is. I mean, my daughter's big into Sophia, but Elena is gaining.
Yeah,
for sure.
Elena has overshot Sophia in our house for sure.
All right, and then
she's I think eclipsed Doc McStuffins, which is totally not part of this conversation. But that's
Doc is old news here. Like I can't think of the last.
Yeah, that's a
pretty
big leap. Yeah. For us, Doc just fell off the face of the earth.
And no one wants to watch a show about a hospital. I mean, ER played out. Yeah. Steve Piscatello closes us out by saying Mulan, Disney's first transgender princess. So there you go.
Okay.
Mulan has her own bathroom. That does it here for Dadcast number 2, JD. Hope you had a good time. I enjoyed myself, as always. Fun to take a break from talking sports and wrestling and whatnot and to mix it up a little bit. And, of course, this is stuff that we're all dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah, we got to watch it anyway, so why not talk about it?
So if you have any other topic ideas for us here on the Dadcast, just reach out to us on social media. Of course, we'll always be posting our mailbag as well on our Facebook page to ask our questions. JD, I'm sure you will be back here as a regular on the show, and we'll have to come up. Actually, I would like to do – I don't know if I could lead this one because I don't have the expertise yet, but you've written some great pieces on like parents at sporting events, youth sports.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun.
So I think we could maybe walk our way through that one and maybe find a couple of parents that are at least in that same realm of having older children participating in sports. So we'll touch on that soon as well. Maybe we'll make
Steve
that
Willie has weighed in some of our chats on some of the sporting moms.
Yeah. So and his son does gymnastics. So it's like a whole nother level of like – of parenting, you know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. Sports parents is a very different world.
Right. Okay, so maybe we'll talk about that in our next one.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. All right, so.
One other thing I want to throw out. I think we need to commission Todd Weber to come up with a Dadcast theme song.
Oh, yeah, you think so? Just an official?
I think so, and I think it goes like straight up 80s sitcom, you know, like My Two Dads type stuff. I think it's a great hook.
All right, well, I'm gonna commission you to commission that.
I will. All right. Sounds good.
All right.
The Truth Commission.
All right. Let's wrap things up. It's a tale as old as time, Jordan Duncan here at the Dadcast. We're going to return to our home under the sea, and we're going to go ahead and take off and head to a whole new world. So for Jordan, for Don, I'm JT. We're out. We'll talk to you on the next Dadcast. Until then, subscribe to our feed, check out all of our other shows, and follow us on social media. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Sorry, Tiana.
Princess and the Frog. I don't even know what the song is.
Me either. I don't know anything about that one.
It's a frog. It's a reptile. Let it go.
No right, no wrong, no rules for me.